175, 631, we think. So Psalm 145 is a psalm of praise. And I would love today to be talking about, I want to talk about praise and worship. I want to ask the question, what is praise and worship all about? And I'd love to get us to think about how we sort of, engage in praise and worship, what shape that takes in our different lives, how we engage it in meaningful ways. Let's be thinking and praying into that as we go. Is that okay? Great. Psalm 145. So, to get us going, a few years ago, I moved into a new part of the UK, and I had what for me was probably my lowest period of a few months, where I was sort of at my lowest point, really, as a as an adult person. Just a real sort of heaviness. I'd started this new job. It wasn't working out very well. I felt out of my depth. It took a while to build up a friendship group in the area which I moved into. I was lonely. I was unhappy in my work. And I was on a real sort of sustained sort of low point. And I can remember phoning up a mate of mine, Remy, back in London, and just talking him through, you know, just having a really good sort of whinge and a moan on the phone, and sort of just saying to him just how I was feeling and just how disconnected from God I felt, and just things were not working out as they were meant to work out. And I sort of had this good old whine and a whinge at Remy. And as we got to the end of the phone call, Remy just stopped me. He said, "Jude, you need to worship. You need to go and worship God. Get on your knees and worship God." He detected something in me. And of course, when he said that, that was the last thing I wanted to do. I was like, "Remy, how are you not listening to me? You know, give me some advice. You hear what I'm saying? You know, it's the last. I do not feel like doing that at all." Of course, we don't, do we, when we're feeling miserable. But I knew somewhere in my spirit, I knew, of course, that he was right. And so we finished the phone call off, and I reluctantly sort of, I think, got on my knees in the in my lounge and just began to sort of try, you know, without feeling anything, how do I engage in this worship thing? And I began to sort of try and find some things to thank God for, and that was quite difficult initially because I just felt that was nothing to thank God for at all. But of course, the more I thought about it, you know, things come to mind, and I found myself giving thanks to God. And as I did that, I suddenly found myself speaking words of love and praise back to God. And as I stayed in that place, for several minutes, I just felt nothing. But after, as I stayed in that place and I persisted in that posture of prayer and worship, something began to happen in my spirit. And before I knew it, I had this sense of connection with God. And actually, that was the turning point in that period of lowness for me. It was a turning point in my own spiritual health. And actually, for me, in that moment, it was a turning point really in my mental and emotional health. I was on a real low, and it just turned me around. That was my experience of it, I guess. So significant. As St. Augustine, a 4th century theologian, said, he said, "Great are you, O Lord, and exceedingly worthy of praise. You awaken us so that praising you may bring us joy, because you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Yeah. It's a goodie, isn't it? It's a goodie. I'm sure some of us have experienced that, you know, a period of lowness. We just felt disconnected from God. We'll be thinking more about that in a bit. So Psalm 105 comes towards the end of the sort of the fifth section in the book of Psalms. And this is sort of how theologians break it up, at least. And each section has got a sort of thematic focus. And in this fifth section in the book of Psalms, the focus is really sort of extolling praise to God, the King, the good King, the saving King, the messianic King, who comes to overcome evil and to bring his kingdom. That is the recurring theme, if you like, through this section. And we'll see elements of that in our psalm as we go. throughout the book of Psalms, you get this movement of, we get different movements, but you get this movement of praise. You also get, I should just say by way of introduction, you get movements of lament, of course, as well. And if you weren't here last Sunday, I would encourage you to check out Tom and Helen's preach on lament. Because there's a danger, before we get all kind of excited about sort of praise and worship, there is a danger, I think, that we think that, you know, all of our sort of spirituality needs to be about praise and worship, the upward movement. But actually, you know, there's loads of biblical material that talks about the downward movement as well, and being honest and real about our emotions. And sometimes we short-circuit that because we think we need to be over here. But actually, there's loads of stuff in the Bible. And Tom and Helen's last week just brought out so helpfully. Actually, we need to sit with that sometimes, just acknowledge the reality of what we're feeling. So don't just hear one thing today. Just, you know, keep that in mind. But today we're emphasizing this movement of praise. So there's movements of lament and there's movements of praise. And as the book of Psalms goes on, it's interesting that as you get close towards the end of the book of Psalms, you get more and more of this movement of praise, this upward movement. And you get that in the individual Psalms, don't you? Sometimes you get a downward movement, and then as you get towards the end of the Psalm, you get this upward movement as well. And according to some commentators, at least, there's at least three things that are going on in these movements of praise, these psalms of praise, at least three things going on. First of all, these psalms are an expression or a posture of thanksgiving and praise. That's number one. Number two, they retell God's story and our part in God's story. Something else is going on in them. And thirdly, there's a movement out of self-focus into God's focus. Now, I just thought, you know, we quite like actions here. Now, don't we, Sir James? Quite like actions. So I thought, what about doing some actions to help us remember this? Well, you know, why not? So we've got a posture. We're in for this. Ed's ahead of me already. He was here this morning. A posture of praise and worship. In for that. Retelling God's story to one another. That was what was going on, wasn't it, when we read the psalm to one another. We're retelling God's story, our place in that. And thirdly, we've got this movement. Now, I was thinking we'd do a little step forward, but you guys can't do a step forward, can you? So why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? Yeah. Just stand up. There's a movement from self-focus to God-focus. So we've got our posture, praise and thanksgiving. We retell God's story and our place in it. And there's a movement. And why don't we sit back down again? Yes, Evelyn, you're there. Let's sit back down again. Super. So Matt, again, if you can, you know, if we can incorporate that into a family worship song, just knock that up this week, that'd be super. Thank you very much. So what is praise and worship? What is praise and worship all about? How can we anchor this notion, this thing, this? How do we anchor this idea of praise and worship? Well, let's have a little look at our text. We're going to read from verse 9 of 145. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. I think here we see all of God's works giving praise back to God. It's as if you've got all of creation turning to God. And then you've got sort of God's people, you know, humanity, God's people sort of in the midst of that, at the center of that almost, then also joining in with that movement, that posture of thanksgiving and praise. And the picture, the mental picture I've got is almost like a circle. I don't know. Circle of life? Not sure about that. But there's a circle. And God's at the center, and people, humanity, are around God, looking inwards, that posture to God. And then the rest of creation, the sort of animal kingdom, the physical world, pointing back to God. Almost like, I don't know, spokes on a wheel or something. You get in that image, you know, sort of pointing inwards to God. And when we worship, I think we are participating in the right ordering of the universe. Yeah, the right and good ordering of the universe, all of creation aligned back to God. You could call it sort of stepping into reality, perhaps. You know, that we get distracted and we have other postures and alignments, don't we? But the true reality is when we turn to face the God who loves us and made us. It's about this alignment, this posture back to God. And I think it's helpful to sort of, because the psalm talks a lot about the kingdom, the rule of God. And I think this is the same thing that we're talking about. On that first day of the resurrection, when Jesus comes out of the tomb, and he goes and he reveals himself to his disciples. You know, what do these disciples do? These sort of, you know, monotheistic, one God. There will be no God but you. What do these one God Jews do? What's their response to seeing Jesus coming out of the tomb, walking, alive? Matthew 28, verse 17. You might want to look it up later. Matthew 28, verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him. When they saw him, they worshipped him. What had the disciples realized about Jesus in that moment? They worshipped him. At the end of Matthew's gospel, after that point, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations. And then he ascends to the right hand of the Father. It's like Jesus is God's anointed king, all authority in heaven and earth, ruling and reigning. And so, you know, even though it's a sort of an idea that can sort of frazzle our brains a little bit, this idea that actually there is this God human person right now at the right hand of the Father, and that there's this emerging reality as all of life begins to turn itself to the king. As life begins to straighten out like those spokes on the wheel, that's the kingdom becoming a reality. An old kingdom of darkness and self-centeredness is fading away. A new kingdom is coming to life. That's what I think St. Augustine's talking about. We're made for God. We're made for that right alignment, that right relationship. And we're used to saying, well, you know, all of life at its best, you know, is worship to God. I mean, I don't know if you knew much about my life, you'd say, well, I'm not sure about that, Jude. But, you know, that's the sense in which we are called, isn't it? That's the idea, the picture gives us that all of life can be this act of worship and back to God. And I don't know about you, but I think this is helpful for us in terms of connecting what's happening on Sundays with what's happening in the rest of our lives. Because in a sense, I think as we gather together on a Sunday, there's a sense in which as we press in worship, there's a sense in which we're being straightened out. Yeah, we're getting our posture and our alignment back to God right. So then as we go out into the week, you know, we've got our focus right. We've been straightened. As we go out into the week, suddenly we can then begin to be the kinds of people who say, well, actually, in my workplace and in my amongst my community of friends or in my family, actually, what does it look like for Jesus to be at the center, for Jesus to be Lord in this place? And so the rest of our life can become this living act of worship to God when we've got that focus. And so we come on Sunday just to get straightened out. Kind of nice, isn't it? God straightens us out so we're able to take that posture of worship into the rest of the week. You might want to just sit with that for a moment, because I think we sometimes, you know, we end up sort of, you know, we can end up doing church on a Sunday and can become a bit of a thing and a bit out of sync perhaps with the rest of the week. And I think in an important sense, we just need to put these things together every now and again and say, well, actually, what's happening here? What's the opportunity for me here? How does this relate to what I'm doing on Monday that looks completely different, but actually is so connected to what God is doing here? Worship is about this right alignment and posture back to God. Another thing I think we see from the text that helps us is that I think we see that praise and worship is something that we pass on. Something that we pass on as we retell God's story and our place in it to one another. The sense in which we pass on worship and praise. Let's have a little look back at the text. Verse 4. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor. They tell, verse 6. They celebrate, verse 7. We commend, we tell of, we speak of God to one another. We pass on our praise and worship. Pass on. And it seems to me, I don't know if you agree with this, but it seems to me that in our particular cultural moment, I don't know, within the institutional church, you know, generally that we're part of, maybe we haven't been so good at passing on praise and worship through the generations. Have we created space for the next generation to find their own ways of praising and worshiping? Is, you know, fresh songwriting and creativity, is that normal in the church? Because I think it should be normal as we help each generation to find their own voice as we pass on praise and worship well. At St. James's, I suspect most of you know this, but we have these five values that just help shape some of the ways we think about discipleship and what it means to follow Jesus. Should we just do them? Why don't we just do them? Love, live, grow, serve, build. Fantastic. So there's upward movements to God, there's inward movements towards one another, there's outward movements into the world. And love is this upward movement, this posture, this alignment back to Jesus. And when we made, back in 2012, you know, before we could properly afford it, we decided to appoint a full-time worship pastor because we wanted to have worship at the center of our shared life together. We wanted to be a church that could pass on well our worship to the generations that come. and as we've done that, God's been very good. Lots of things have sort of bubbled up and out of that. And one of the things to draw attention to is the family worship time that we have on a Sunday. And so, you know, Debs was with us and she wrote a couple of great family worship albums. And, you know, Matt, brother, we're just, you know, waiting for, you know, similar crazy. Naughty, I know. Sorry. But we want to have create a space where we can pass on worship and praise well to the next generation. And certainly for me, one of my highlights is sort of, you know, down the front, watching the kids go for it, just hearing people sing over one another in that space. It's amazing. But it does require a little bit of intentionality. So Jake, just to give an example, our kids are all in different places, aren't they? And, you know, it's just a sort of reality check. But, you know, Jake's just getting to that age where he can be a bit self-conscious and he's just kicking back a little bit on the whole family worship thing. So it's a real challenge for Hannah and I, actually, about how do we pass on worship well? And so we're trying to navigate that. So one of the things we're doing is, you know, before the Sunday, we're just having a chat and we're just reminding him, hey, you know, you really enjoyed this last week when we did it together. It's just a couple of songs. Are you able to sort of join in with us? We're trying to get him set and ready for it. But, you know, of course, as he gets older, you know, sooner or later, he's going to want to do something different, and we're going to need to be creative and think about creating space for him to engage in different ways. Maybe join in with the band. Maybe there's other ways he can get involved. Mike and Haley have started something with Alexander and Nathaniel, where they say to them, look, you know, we're all joining in with this. You know, we're not going to opt out. We're not going to go and sit at the back and disappear. We're going to join in. But for those two, actually, their way of joining in is drawing pictures and writing stuff down. But they're participating. They're joining in. And they're helping them to pass on that praise and worship. Well, I don't know. How does this speak to you? How do we pass on? How do we see ourselves as people who pass on praise and worship to the generations behind us? What does that look like for us? I think there's a sense in which all of God's people are invited to pass on that to others. You know, it's not just our, you know, our great time, but how do we pass on well? So obviously parents, there's a challenge there for parents. I love what Henry was saying, you know, in that interview earlier. He's going over to do this camp thing. Yeah, and he's buzzing on, like, you know, could we do Alpha with the kids? Yeah, how does he, what does it look like to point some of these kids to Jesus? Yeah, fresh, creative ways to do that. Yeah, but for all of us, we're all invited in. How can we pass on praise and worship well? It'd be good to be talking about that, I think, as we journey together. So, we're called, worship is a posture and alignment back to God. We're called to pass on praise and worship. I think also in this text, we see that praise and worship is something that we choose. Something that we choose. The psalmist writes, verse 1, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Every day. Something that God's inviting us to choose to do. Now, you know, just from that little story I shared earlier, of course, we have these seasons of life where that is difficult and things get in the way and we're busy and there's distractions. So we can be real with ourselves about this, can't we? But there's this constant invitation from God to choose to turn to him. I don't know how you find on a, you know, when you come in on a Sunday and you're sort of, I don't know, I was chatting about this in the week, and you come in and, like, you know, for us, it's like, you know, the kids, you know, what mood are the kids in? You know, how are we going to sort of create a good experience for them? But you might be coming in with, like, oh my goodness, that stuff that happened last week, my head's just spinning, I've got to go back into work tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? We're just buzzing on this stuff. Yeah, you know, for the morning service crew, it's like, you know, well, what's cooking in the oven for lunch? You know, I'm like, did I enjoy my, I just went on a student lunch maybe. You know, how good was that lunch? We just sort of ticking that off. You know, there's a lot of distractions, if we're honest. And, you know, when we come to church, there's this choice, this invitation to choose, to put some of those things aside, to press in to what God has for us. I think it's a complex and interesting picture. You know, what's going on for us and how we respond well. I remember I was chatting with in Alpha. I don't know if you remember this, but in Alpha, myself and Archie and Henry were talking about Soul Survivor. So these guys have experiences at Soul Survivor on a camp stuff, and it's a great thing. You know, real encouragement. But we just sort of nitpicking the right word, just thinking through the sort of some of the detail of it. And actually, they were very honest. And they were saying, well, look, you know, you go along to a big event like that, it's a big main stage thing, and someone shares an amazing story, and then there's an amazing sort of healing or something. And then, you know, is there a sense in which, you know, is it sort of being hyped up a bit? And, you know, is this sort of emotionalism? What's going on here, God? What's real here, and what's just emotionalism? And how do you sort of navigate that? You know, actually, some folks, you know, who've been through cultures of church where it's all about sort of whipping stuff up, actually just get to the point where you think, no, you know, this isn't real for me. I need to think through this one. But then, of course, you can end up with all this sort of a bit of cynicism, a bit of pessimism, and you've got these sort of questions that then can get in the way between us and God. You know, having our brains and being able to use our reason is a good thing because it means we're checking what's happening, but equally it comes a point where we just got to jump in. Got to take that step. And then you go on to the whole, you know, personality thing. You know, introverts, extroverts. What's an appropriate expression of worship that fits with our personalities and who we are? You know, and again, for Alien Family, for the kids, actually, that artistic drawing is a much more authentic expression for them. So we've got to create, let's create space for that. You know, I don't know what that looks like for each of us, but there's permission, I think, to say, well, what could that look like? I know, you know, Bethan sometimes leads worship through dance. We just want to give permission to that. That's fantastic. You know, Gabby sometimes will be just cutting loose in worship at the back because she prefers just to be out of the spotlight, just have that space. And so I just want to say we've got that freedom. We've got that freedom to explore and what's right for us. But worship is a choice. And sometimes we have to put things aside so that we can turn to God, to receive what God has for us. Think of the band. Do you guys mind coming out? Is that all right? If you're comfortable, let's stand. If you prefer to sit, that's cool. But if you're comfortable, we could stand. We're just going to have a little time waiting on God, I think. This is all about God. It's all about the kind of relationship he wants for us. It's a very personal thing. And so, my hope is that as I've been speaking, that God has been speaking. And so I just want to encourage you now, if you've heard or just sensed maybe God saying something to you afresh about all of this, then I just want to encourage you to just do a bit of business with God now. God is here. He's at work. He loves us and wants the very best for us. This is not a condemnatory thing at all, but it's about the fullness of life that he has for us. And so my sense is that there may be a few different things going on. And so I think some of us, maybe today, there's something about hearing that worship is this posture and this alignment back to God that's just been helpful. That connects our experience on a Sunday with our experience during the week. And so for some of us, maybe it's just recommitting ourselves to a life that is aligned with Jesus, that looks to, that points to Jesus. I think for some of us, this sense in which worship is passed on. Maybe there's a word there for someone today. Maybe God's saying there's a fresh opportunity for you to pass worship on to others. And if that's you, then I'd just love you to just begin maybe praying that in, asking for courage and direction to respond to that. And then there's this this sense that worship is a choice that we make. And, all sorts of stuff can get in the way. And I know I'm sort of treading on hallowed ground in a sense, because things do get in the way. But I think every moment is an opportunity to choose to turn to God. But maybe today, this moment, again, for some of us, just might be a particularly helpful or important space to say, yes, God, I want to choose afresh. Those things, those thoughts, that stuff that's got in the way, I want to step through that to you. I want to recommit myself to pursuing you, God, to seeking you out. And again, if that's you, I'd love to just create space for you to get some prayer or to respond however you want to. So we're going to go into a time of sung worship now. A few of us are going to gather up front right. Come forward for prayer if you'd like to. But equally, it may be that one or two folks, there's something about a movement, isn't there? It might be that we've got a bit of space at the front here. If you just feel God's calling you to sort of to move to him, then coming forward and just using this front space to worship might be a way of just inking in that call to move towards God. If that's helpful for you, then do go for it. Let me pray and then we'll sing together. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you made us to live in right relationship with you. Thank you that you call us to worship you. We've been made for to give you praise, to draw close. And so we ask for your help now as we respond. Help us to grow, to come close. Minister amongst us as we lift our praise to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just feel like, while Jude was speaking, he was talking a lot about alignment, and as a dancer, I automatically think about posture, my physical posture, and I just got a really strong picture of this, of a spine. And lots of people in my class, they get like knee injuries, and there's a girl and she's had a really bad knee for a long time. And lots of the injuries are due to posture and back. And it just makes me think about, actually, I feel like God's telling some people to take your eyes off the problem and focus back on God. Like when Jude's friend told him to worship you, taking his eye off the injury, the knee or the shoulder or whatever part, and focusing on the spine. And the spine's where all the nerves run and everything. And it's just focusing back on God. So I just want to encourage you to take your eyes off the problem and focus on Jesus.
Lord is my shepherd, he restores my soul. He leads me by still waters, he restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, he restores my soul. He leads me by still waters, he restores my soul. Chasing after me, all of the days of my life. Even when I'm lost in the deepest valley, I'll fear no evil. Even when the silence falls around me, I know you hear me. Even when it feels like we're separated, you're holding on to me. You lift my head and wipe my tears, you restore my soul. Draw me into your embrace, you restore my soul. And surely your goodness and mercy are chasing after me all of the days of my life. Even when I'm lost in the deepest valley, I'll fear no evil. Even when the silence falls around me, I know you hear me. And even when it feels like we're separated, you're holding on to me. You restore my soul. Oh, you restore my soul. Oh, you restore my soul. lost in the deepest valley. You're real, not evil, even when the silence falls around me. I know you hear me, and even when it feels like we're separated, you're holding on to me. You restore my soul. You restore my soul. You restore my soul.
As Jude and Bethan both talked about this alignment, this straightening ourselves out. You know, Jude said that we come on a Sunday and we get ourselves straightening out, ready for the week ahead. So just as a band plays, we're going to leave some open space to really just take that time where we can come before God, really get ourselves centered in Him so that we have the right posture ready for the week ahead, for whatever we have in front of us, or whatever we've been carrying as well in the past few weeks. Just allow it to center yourself and really just become centered in God. Then also in this space, you know, Jude talked about the freedom that we have in worship. So as a band plays, just use this time to worship within that freedom, whatever you feel comfortable in your worship, however that may look, whatever that may be. Just use this time to just worship God in your own way. Just continue in our worship, just continue to speak these words of praise and worship to God. Again, He is worthy of our praise, so just continue to speak these praises. And just as we do this, John is going to lead us in our final song. Just rejoice. It's a time where we celebrate and we praise the name of God.